You can't, she says, and now we have a song. Dan would be no good for her. This is between them. Dan would be no good for Mad. He was no good for her mother. He has learned that his nature favours isolation. If he stays, he only hurts others. Madeline says, you can't hurt me any more than you already have. She doesn't know what she feels about him. Rage, anger probably, but she doesn't know. She needs him to stay, she needs to know. Seeing that he's frightened of her anger, or her threatened anger really, she tries to reassure him that even if there's anger, there must be love. He says there is love, he does care. He's shocked and gratified to find that he has such a beautiful daughter.
Yeah.
This is the chorus.
Yeah.
And as that ends, that little song ends, or big song, or whatever, a big little song, there's a verse of Ping, and Dan still intends to board the plane. He's said how much he loves her, but he's still going. She calls after him, Dad, please. And finally, coward. One verse of Ping as Mad stands there alone, and then loads and loads of pings, this is already on the tape, you see, as Dan returns. And we get that ping, 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 when they sing so much to tell you, and he comes back and there's a resolution with all these bloody pings going on.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that scene, really.
Yeah. The end is that he comes back.
Yes.
Yeah.
He comes back.
He's not going to go away.
He's not. So now Roy and Anna hear a noise. They're in the office. They've been flirting. I mean, we haven't seen them the whole time, but they've been there. And they go on, crawl under the table with their joint paranoia. The phone rings. Madeline enters the office. Hang on a tick, Dad, she says, and answers the phone.
Yeah.
Yes, she'll pass the number on to Roy, she says. She takes the number down and passes on to Roy, slips it in her pocket. But at this moment, Dan has seen the kid, the two under the table.
Yeah.
Verses of I Was Just Flirting, which was a song from the original Act One. He put his tongue down my throat. I was only flirting, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that leads into the song Mad, 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 where Dan punches Roy.
Now, why does Dan punch Roy?
Because he has
because
he has just reunited with his daughter and has got this outrageous sense of loyalty from nowhere.
Yeah, and he knows that Roy and Mad are engaged.
Yes, oh yes.
Yeah. So he's just caught him at his potential son-in-law.
Yes.
Under the table with another girl.
That's right.
Right, got it.
And that leads into the new quartet. Oh, goodness me, where is it? Well, I have to piece this together because it's earlier and earlier draft, but I'll try and remember it. Roy jilts Madeline. Now, I know that there's loads of other stuff in there about his resentment for her, always criticising him and stuff like that. That he needs somebody more conventional, perhaps. But I can't remember what all the notes are now.
Well, obviously there's comparison with Anna going on.
Yes.
Because Anna's been setting herself up as what Roy needs. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, which we, the audience, would
know. We've been watching, yeah.
Yeah.
Dan and Anna have a thing in, they've left. She's taken him back to the flat, Dan back to the flat. She's got him out of the way, really.
Right, because he's attempting to punch Roy.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's right, but he has actually punched him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's from down on the floor that Roy starts his jilting of Madeline.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And meanwhile, Dan's been taken back to the flat with the idea of, oh, you're Madeline's dad, are you?
Yeah.
And Dan tells her how awful Anna is for having betrayed her friend.
Yeah.
And she says, how can you talk? You know, where have you been?
What about
for
you?
30 years,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What about shitty old you?
And he tries to flirt with her and she's telling him to get off. This is only sub. I don't want to make too much of it.
Right.
It's not important. But it is, it's just in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I got a nice little stanza. What does it go? Beauty. He says to her, do you know this one? Beauty and Truth. Oh, I can't remember how it was. Beauty and Truth were honest.
Yeah.
Beauty and Truth, they were in love, you could tell. But Beauty and Truth were not clever, and clever blew them to hell. And he says this while he's putting his arm around her.
Nice.
He doesn't get off her. Right. At that moment, when he's got his arm around her,
yeah.
Madeline walks in, having been jilted.
Yeah.
And she goes mad.
Yeah.
And there's a song called So Much for Love. And it's got three verses, which I shall slightly rewrite.
Yeah.
She'll do one to Anna, one to Dan,
yeah.
and one to Roy, who's followed her, or has he followed Anna?
Right.
Because he can't see Anna.
Right.
And she's saying to one, you as my friend, to Anna she's saying,
yeah.
for example, you as my friend have betrayed me.
Yeah.
To Dan she's saying, you as my relative, my
yeah.
father,
yeah.
have betrayed me. And to Roy, you as my lover have betrayed me.
Yeah.
And chucking them out of her flattened
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
At which point there's a culminating, like, stanza thing,
yeah.
Tune at the top of this song, where she says, now, no more Mr. Nice Guy, really.
Yeah.
From now on, it's me. What do I want? And then she realises she doesn't know what she wants and collapses.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that moment, we see Roy and Dan, like, outside, and Anna, outside,
yeah.
having been chucked out.
Yeah.
And Roy says, I'd bloody punch you in the face if you weren't terminally ill. And Anna says, oh, you poor, brave man, and starts on at him in this sort of cooey way, noxious way. But Madeline hears it. And she obviously immediately understands that her father is terminally ill, which makes her terribly confused.
Yes.
And it's at this point that I leave the audience behind. Or I let Madeline leave the audience
yeah.
behind, because
yeah.
she makes a decision which we are not told what it is.
Yeah.
But she fishes this telephone number from
yeah.
her pocket. She'd been given a message
oh,
when
yes.
she went into the flat
yeah.
the office earlier.
Yeah.
And she rings the number and she sings the wallpaper's praises,
yeah.
arranges to meet somebody somewhere,
yeah.
and puts the phone down. Now, I think the rest of it is on paper. No, I think it's here. No, it didn't. Just pause that for a second. Act 2, Scene 3. Dan, Anna and Roy, all a bit the worse for drink, arrive back at Madeline's flat.
Yeah.
The agreement has been that they intend to do whatever Mad wants. Because and the way that has been built up, I haven't really been following that through properly.
Mm.
But that's really what Dan and Anna were accusing each other of when Madeline turned up, of
right.
not treating Madeline properly.
Right.
And when they're outside doing that punch-up scene, or Roy saying, I will beat you up,
yeah.
If you, I would if you weren't terminally ill, during
yeah.
that bit,
yeah.
Dan is in terrible distress, in genuine distress.
Yes.
And he's very embarrassed by cooey Anna
yes.
cooing on about his terminal illness
yeah.
For reasons we don't know and don't care about. What he's concerned with is that he feels that he's blown it.
Yeah, with Anna.
With
Mad.
Madeline,
with
yes.
Mad, yeah. Who's walked in on him and Anna. Yeah.
No, Dan has blown it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Her father has blown it with her daughter.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yes.
I mean,
he's hit the boyfriend.
He's hit the boyfriend.
And he's been caught flirting with
he's been caught flirting with Anna.
Mm.
That's right, yeah.
Mm. So, so now the three naughties,
yeah.
Arrive back at the flat, and they've agreed to whatever Madeline wants. And there's a
right.
song called Love Sweet Long, Madeline Loves You, Madeline Loves You,
mm.
which is left over from the original. It's a sweet, simple song, but she's not there. The place is a tip. Oh, I forgot to say that earlier when in her crisis she threw things about
right.
a bit. The place is a tip. They're worried. Dan vows that if Madeline is all right, he'll devote his remaining years to serving her. what remaining years, it transpires that Dan is not terminally ill, so Roy finally hits him. Anna protects Dan. He may not be terminally ill, but he is old, which is the next best thing. looking out, Roy sees movement in his office. Vandals again. I've got that last section here. Last scene. They turn up with... Madeline is singing happily whilst tidying up.
Yeah.
Roy, Anna and Dan rush in, brandishing weapons, rolling pins, etc. They stop when they see her. They tell Madeline they are sorry, that they'll serve her, Dan as father, Anna as friend, Roy as partner.
Yeah.
By the way, I know this ending's a bit too yicky at the moment, but at least it pulls things together.
Yeah.
Roy says she's given him back his courage. He doesn't care about the company or his personal security. Nothing can go wrong. He does love her. Anna has been taught how to behave, she says. That it is better to be generous, as generous as possible. I mean, I think she's flirting with one of the men when she says that. Dan has learnt how to care, learnt to care about somebody else because he finds that he cares about Madeline. What should they do? Dan says, run away. Well, actually, that doesn't, it doesn't really matter, but it's just a song I want to keep, right? I just want a jolly a cappella, upbeat song.
Yeah.
So I'll share out the verses of the song that was already there. And end with what them saying to Madeline, what do you say, what do you say, what do you say? And Madeline says, well, first of all, I want this office tidied. And then to the vocal backing of Runaway, Madeline sings a slow, beautiful tune to a fast backing as they clear up round. We get a last Madeline song, basically.
Mm-hmm.
She feels she has finally taken responsibility for her life. Anna, meanwhile, finds the money. We have a backer, says Madeline. Rich, rich, says Anna, shimmying to the men. Steady, Anna, says Madeline. And we've got to understand that Madeline's got things in control, really.
Yeah.
Is it the Earl, says Anna. Could be, says Mad, closing the case of money. Yeah. Roy looks accusingly at Anna. How did you know? Oh, I forgot to tell you, sorry, she says. Madeline says that the backer appreciates Dan's work, and so does Madeline. In what remains of Dan's life, yes, she knows that he's terminally ill.
Yeah.
He'll want for nothing. Roy informs her that Dan is not terminally ill. He made it all up. She looks at Dan, who shrugs. She considers this information for a moment, then she hugs him. Thank goodness, says Madeline. And that's really the end of it. I mean, it's the get off. But apart from that, that's it.
Oh, you've done some work, darling.
Yes, I've done some work. I mean, to... yes?
But Dan never thought he was terminally ill.
No.
Who signed the contract?
What contract?
Who took responsibility?
Well, no, it didn't really matter.
It didn't matter. Because...
As you said yourself, Dan was really being anxious. Roy was really being anxious. Over anxious, really. The wallpaper was insufficiently lewd. It was.
Yes.
I mean, you can always have a line about, you know, the House of Lords and so on, but there is a local bylaw, and he could be stopped from trading or something. You know, you can, if you want to get.
Yes.
Yes. It all got to be linked with the terminally ill thing. That's what I thought. The fact that it didn't matter. If he signed it.
Yes. It didn't matter that he signed it because he's... But the thing he was signing didn't matter in the first place.
No,
but A, they didn't know he was terminally ill because, Mad didn't.
No, Mad didn't. But she doesn't need to be told.
No.
Roy did.
Roy thought he was.
Roy
had been told by Dan.
Yeah.
Dan, originally, the first time we see Dan, Roy comes in and he says... he sees Dan and he says, the wallpaper's lewd. The wallpaper that you designed is lewd.
Yeah.
And goes to hit him.
Yeah.
And Dan...
He makes an excuse.
Yeah. He says he's terminally ill.
And then it comes in useful because Roy thinks, oh Christ, I'm going to get sued, my business wrecked. I'll get this guy, who's terminally ill anyway, to say it's all his idea, sure. And he takes full responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yes, I got that. I didn't get the first bit, though. I missed that.
Any holes that you can see?
Just trying to think, darling.
No, I know. It's because I spent all day on it. Not clear.
So that in the end, what we have is Mad forgiving all three of them.
Yes.
And what? So the status quo that we end up with is Mad still has her dad.
Yes.
No longer terminally ill.
Yes.
What's the love relationship between Mad, Anna, and Roy?
Roy.
I mean, we, the audience, now think that Mad's much too good for Roy.
Ah, well, that's a question. Yes. Well, I have had him say that he loves her.
Mm.
What I haven't quite done, I think I could do it on song alone.
Yeah.
On the fact that if we make that last thing in that last scene where they each say that they will befriend her, and Roy's one is that he truly loves her.
He truly loves her, and that he's been, he's been a frightened shit or something.
Yes.
So where does Anna end up?
She ends up accepting Dan.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One is that he's got the money because he'll want for nothing now because of that money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, he's been after her like a dirty old man sort of character before. Yeah. And she now accepts this.
Yes.
Because...
Because he's in the money.
Because he's in the money, mm-hmm. Yes. And he doesn't mind that.
So everybody's getting...
Their oats.
Yeah.
Yes, he's getting a nurse for later on.
Yes, well, he said he could fancy him. He fancied a model.
Yeah. So he can afford to buy her.
Yes.
And she wants him because he's going to be in the
money. Now, how real is this money?
Oh, it's real.
Yeah. Of course it's real, but I mean, how real if you made it?
How much? Sorry.
To the audience.
Well, I think if I've said that on the radio this reprobate Earl is keen on it, and that's actually a small news item, and I think the comedy of that will carry it.
Well, and also, there is very widely publicised the Marquess of Bath,
That's right. But it was you who gave me the idea of the reprobate Earl by saying that.
Mad, and also, it's a sort of deus ex machina.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little bit unrealistic, really, to my mind. But then, on the other hand, it is kind of all unrealistic
in a way. Yeah. It's something I'm struggling with.
The whole thing is unrealistic.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that it's
and therefore
it happened one nightish.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it would help the production. Of course, it'd be up to who directs it. But I mean, I can see this a kind of exaggerated production.
It's all heightened. Yeah. I mean, I do think you're right.
Sort of tennis shoes and the sort of modern dress kind of thing. Have something really rather heavy.
Yeah.
To carry all this thing, to sort of...
Wants to have a connection with reality, is what you're saying, aren't you?
Well,
is that right?
No, I'm saying that it is so contrived.
Yeah.
The whole thing. I mean, it fits, but I mean, it's high, sort of.
Is it too screwball comedy-ish? Do you think?
It's just that I think it really needs the more exaggeration.
Yes.
Rather like a sort of doily cart.
Gilt and Sullivan thing, yeah.
Where everything's a bit puffed up.
Yeah.
The little girls. Come on, three little girls a week.
Yeah. I can't do it that far, can I? I think.
No.
I want to allow the world in which it happens to be a heightened world.
It's got to be larger than life.
But I have to connect it to human emotions and human experience in every real way.
Modern reality, because it's actually very modern. That is to say, it's very rooted in contemporary characters, which is... Greed is good, I don't want to be a father and have a wife and take responsibility for my children. I'm walking away,
These are all very modern dilemmas, yeah. You know.
But you see, from the business point of view, the Earl thing is not convincing.
I see.
In real terms, I know this may be a clumsy and difficult thing to do,
yeah.
In a very, because you don't want to waste much time. You've got to have just something ping like that.
Yeah.
But the fact is that what would really have happened was unbeknown to it was a sort of tearaway success. In fact, the publicity meant that there was terrific demand, not from the...
You know, Keith. I ought to add that information, don't I?
Yeah.
That's true.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Now
that would happen, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? And
suddenly everybody wants the Rood wallpaper.
Yes.
And of course
we've got to find a place for that.
Ken Livingstone's got it on his wall. You know.
Yeah.
You could have a funny jokey song about who's got it.
No, and
from all the most unexpected people.
It wants to be believably Rood. That is to say, if it was based on sort of Picasso with lots of cunts and tits in, you know, in that sort of...
Do you know, I've thought and thought about the wallpaper itself.
Yeah.
And I don't want to show it.
No, I think it's
I want to do it in the imagination. There are two... I've tried to address it because you can't not address it.
Yeah.
But I've done it with two songs. One is the obvious, it's lewd.
Yeah.
And the other is Dan's song where he says all the beautiful moments of his life are in this wallpaper.
Yeah.
Which need not be untrue, despite the fact that he turns out not to be terminally ill.
Right.
Yeah. But you must be careful then to put in the preamble so that whoever's designing the...
Yes. Well, we'll be in control of that in this case.
Yeah, you won't have something.
I mean, John Herford for the poster did that beautiful cover. This beautiful cover.
Yeah.
I mean, you know it, don't you?
Yeah.
So that's sort of got the wallpaper in it, and we'll use that with whoever the other characters are.
Yeah.
On stage, we won't have it.
Yeah, much better left.
We'll use as our symbol if we can get David Begbie to provide one of these sculptures.
Yeah.
That will be the thing on stage.
Yeah.
So, any more holes? Anyone for any more holes?
Yeah, I must say, I do think that is a good point. That it takes off.
Yes, it should take off.
The wallpaper absolutely takes off. Those phones and faxes are going, you know.
Oh, that's what happens when we get cut to the office for the last scene.
Right.
That's all. She's not just singing happily in the office, tidying up. She is madly on the phone.
Yes.
That's right.
And then they come in with their rolling pins.
Yeah, right.
And we can go from there on. She can tell them all systems go. We'll know. In fact, she needn't even tell them. We'll know.
And she can be ringing the factory that, you know...
Yes. She's just taken over his bloody business.
We'll play a triple time or something.
Yes.
We're taking over Richard Branson's...
let it go right up, you mean?
Yeah.
Let it right...
Yeah, we're taking Richard Branson's Virgin factory or something.
Yes. What's the opposite of a virgin?
You could have...
somebody's not a virgin.
Yeah.
We're changing the name, you know.
But I mean, if you were having a sort of chorus at the end, you could have various stagehands. I don't know, problems with unions or things.
No.
I mean, if you could have all the back people sort of coming on as though that it's sort of.
Busy. No, I think I can create that with the characters.
Yeah,
I think I can do that. Yeah. You've got to be careful. You've got to move quite speedily.
Yeah.
The only thing you're allowed at the end of a musical is one last big song, and I've got that. So.
Yeah.
But everything else wants to move quite quick.
But you have to give sufficient time for the joyous surprise to see.
Yes.
And that's why music is so good. Why do we have to love Mad so much, and what has she done to justify it? Give me a cigarette, darling.
Yes.
Are you okay for fags?
Totally okay. I've got more packets than I could smoke in a year. Yeah. No, that's not true, but I've got lots.
Do you want a glass of wine to go with that?
I think so. I'd love one, Keith. Well, yes. Well, I mean, the obvious answer to your question is she behaves generously throughout.
Yes.
And she...
The first thing we see her do is give house room to a complete stranger.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm just cleaning the lines.
Yes, you're quite right. Yes, I've been trying to go through the lines. I mean, the line...
Yeah, why does she fall in love with Roy?
Now, that's a good thing. I've not got that anywhere.
Yeah, I think maybe you have to work on Roy a bit.
Well, I certainly do.
Yeah, you see, Anna is the grafty, greedy one. Roy has to be a bit of a patsy or something.
Yes, he was...
Likeable, actually not a very good businessman.
No.
Or something. You've got to...
I think he should be funny. I think he should be...
Yeah, he's got to be endearing, hasn't
charming.
He, really?
And I...
he's got to be good enough for Matt.
He's got that song in the 60s, which, though a melancholic song, sort of says, I wanted to do more with my life, but my father died, and I took over the family business, and there I've remained, and I've tried to do my best, but I'm not really happy in it.
Yeah.
So, in a way... At the end.
You've got to build him some likability.
Yes. Now, he's also got a love duet with Madeline, which I've yet to write. I mean, I know that the chorus would be State of Grace or something, but the verses aren't decided. And I think we should... that's their moment before the wallpaper stuff erupts for some love between them. And he should be revealed in that.
Yeah, he's got to be good enough.
He's got to be good enough.
If Rory had to take over the father's business... because he had to look after Mum and the girls or something, you know?
Oh, right, yes.
So that he's actually a nice guy.
Yes.
So we want Mad to have him. And we want him to have Mad. And it all goes wrong for them.
Thank you. You've given me a lot.
Yeah. That's
You've given me a lot. You've changed that song in the 60s a bit, and it needed doing.
Yeah. Because otherwise...
That gives us the background.
He's not good enough for Mad.
Yes.
And we don't want to see Mad alone and... dispossessed and, you know, everybody letting her down at the end. We want it to end
happy.
As it does end, happy.
But he's got to be
worthy. But we have to
worthy.
Justify it.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other two, in a way, deserve each other.
The other two deserve each other. I've not tried too hard to make them particularly likable.
No, but I mean, they have their moments.
Yes.
I mean, Anna has that vivacity of greed.
Yes.
You know.
And Dan is anarchic.
And Dan is anarchic with all the downers that
side
go with that.
Yes.
But at least he is her dad, and he's staying. He didn't scarp her.
That's right.
At the airport, you know.
That's right. So he gets a reward for it.
So he gets a reward. He gets his blonde or whatever, you know.
So it's a sort of...
It's coming, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really coming. I mean, you know what it should be like. I mean, who's that filmmaker of the 30s that Johnny likes the work of? Preston Sturges.
Preston Sturges,
It should be on a Preston Sturges level, really,
right.
This piece.
Feel good. And there's nothing wrong with that. And actually, there's a mood for it at the moment. Because I tell you what, it's a very old theme of mine. When I was, I don't know, in my intellectual years, I came across the Manichaean heresy.
Yes. What is that?
And I actually had the nerve to ask Bob what it meant after he'd been using the phrase for several years. And it was one of the heresies of Christianity, which happened in the early Middle Ages, which was, it was a very depressive, I don't know who Manichaeus was, but it was that everything ends in disaster. You know, it was a real downbeater. It was all with the fire and brimstone thing. It probably came out of the Black Death or something. And that one should not wish, for happiness in this world and all the rest of it. And there's a theme in it.